Welcome to Business Game Changers, where you'll hear expert tips on the big issues and the hottest trends to level up your business game. If you're building a career or building a business, this is Must Hear Radio. Here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. The unemployment rate, according to our government, is now at 5.5%, which is crazy because the employment rate, which is also what they track, is hovering around near lows, historic lows. So it's really impossible for the employment rate to be at historic lows and the unemployment rate to be at about 5.5%, which a lot of economists claim is essentially full employment. It just doesn't make sense. Shadow Stats, which is a website that has alternative government stats, claims that the unemployment rate is really around 23%. So there's a lot of strange things going on. Well, there is a group of investors which have decided to tackle this problem. And they're trying to create 2 million head of household jobs. Their initiative, called the New Village Initiative, has a goal of creating over 100 businesses that will generate this many jobs. And they have a whole plan around this. And Gary Beeman, who is the leader of this initiative, is going to be joining us and talking to us about this really cool thing that they're doing. So now I'm going to welcome Gary Beeman. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. You are working on this wonderful initiative to deal with the struggles that I think our country is, you know, currently in. You're trying to create 2 million well-paying head of household jobs for people and create a whole structure to do that. And I really want to get into the details of that. But before we get into that, will you tell me a little bit about your background? So that
sure,
I know your
to.
Background a little more than others, but I want the world to hear your background.
Okay, thanks. I might start, maybe I'll start from today and work backwards. At the top level, I've been fortunate enough to be a public and private company CEO several times over the last 30 years and been operating a venture firm that's focused on helping startups the past 10 years or so since people helped me and my partners and teams along the path, so it's good to give back a little bit. I started my career out in a Fortune 500 company, which actually turned out to be great experience because I got a picture of a big company and learned how they operate and their motivations. And after that, I started working my way down to smaller companies that helped to as part of a team that helped a struggling technology company and revived that.
So you have experience in all different industries and different size companies and from startups to large and investing in different, getting a lot of different startups going.
Yeah, it's been a very interesting path. I started out in technology. I've been in all kinds of things. Transportation, biotech, and all sorts of different industries, which has been great, and all different sizes of companies from 80,000 people down to 1 and 2 people at a time and back up. So it's been a great experience.
Well, I know working at large companies really do give you a different perspective as to, you know, how business is done, but then so do small companies. They really give you, because you have to wear so many different hats.
Yeah, and I've been fortunate in my larger company experiences. They were always in an entrepreneurial mode where we were starting a new division or we were re-engineering a part of the company, and I didn't realize how great an experience that was until I got out later and needed some of that when I was starting my own company.
Not to mention how much fun that is, right?
Oh, it's great fun. It's really entertaining.
So let's talk about your new initiative. You have this goal to create 2 million head of household level jobs. What do you mean by head of household level?
Well, as you know, we're all struggling with what to do about the current economy and the job situation, because over time, the job, the unemployment rate has become a little bit meaningless because the job incomes have come down. They certainly haven't gone up over time. And so the average household is struggling to make ends meet. The healthcare costs are up. All costs are up.
Well, and also, not to interrupt, but the other problem is the unemployment rate is pretty much decoupled from reality right now, right? I mean, you have to look at the chart on what the percentage of employed people are versus the unemployment rate, because the unemployment rate doesn't really track everybody anymore.
No, it's unfortunate the way the numbers are reported. I mean, the government wants to report good news, and I admire them for that. But the reality is underemployment is really what we should be tracking now. You can have two people in a household employed technically, but they may be working at $7 an hour part-time jobs with no benefits, and they can't feed their kids, and they can't get them health care, and they can't afford the basic things that families need to do, and they can't pay taxes, which is one of the biggest problems we have right now, because the tax base is underfunded, and that's one of the things that we depend on to help drive the country.
So besides head of household type jobs, what other big problems are you trying to solve?
Well, I think permanent employment is one at the top of my list. Because in the 50 and 100 years ago, you could get a job and actually expect to stay at that company for your entire life if you wanted to. Over time, and I think this really started back in the 70s and 80s and beyond, we started monetizing companies into just ways to make money quickly rather than ways to employ people over a long term and help them feed their families. So one of the big things that we're trying to tackle is how do we create companies built around the job itself and in a permanent mindset rather than a temporary.
Well, because now they create, right, the whole point is to create a company, sell it to, get it big enough and exciting enough, and then sell it to one of the big companies. And then you get millions, and then you can go and do it again or something.
Yeah, and that benefits a very, very tiny percentage of the population. So it shifts the economy away from the work base and away from the tax base, and it actually exacerbates the whole problem and makes it bigger all the time. So what we have to do, one of the things we have to do that I think most people can agree on, is put back some of the middle-class jobs, and enough of them that at a rate that can feed families and pay taxes and do all the things that actually hold up a real economy rather than some of this false economics that we've been dealing with for a few years.
So what exactly is the New Village Initiative? I know you want to create 2 million jobs and you want to solve these big problems, but what is it?
Yeah, most people think we're crazy when we talk about 2 million jobs, but it's...
You see, I'm crazy enough to think it's really cool.
Well, it's not a random number exactly. If you look at some of the data out there on the underemployment rate, if you will, and the unemployment rate coupled together, we're short about somewhere between 2 million and 6 or 8 million jobs to plug that economic gap that I was talking about in the middle incomes. So if you put back 2 million jobs, and let's say that they make an average of $50,000 a year, that's going to need to vary depending on where it is in the country. If you're in New York City, you're going to need more money there. If you're in the middle of the country, you might need a little less. But let's call it that number for now. If you generate 2 million jobs in that head of household income bracket, you will actually be able to raise the GDP of the country by about 5%. And that's significant enough to have an impact, a significant impact.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So, and again, we have to put, besides the jobs, we have to put back some of the local circulation of dollars that used to exist in the old days, where you had local businesses and the dollars would be earned there and spent there, maybe a number of times. You go to the grocery store, or, you know, you go to the hair salon, and you go to the car repair shop and all that. Those dollars circulate and help feed the families, and then eventually they move out of town and out of the region, and maybe they go globally. But they've been circulated and amplified through that. So part of it's helping to build back some local circulation of dollars, but the main anchor of this is to create the jobs in the first place that can stay there.
Well, so what structures do you think you need in place? Are you planning on putting in, are you already or have in place to meet these goals?
Well, the structures, obviously, you need to have a way to fund these things. We watched a little bit of horror over the last decade or two, where companies would go raise, you know, $500 million to start something. And in our experience in driving, you know, smaller startups and growing them up to profitable companies and reasonable employment, I don't think we ever raised more than $2 million to start a company. So we have to return to some rationality here on how much do you need to start something that can create employment. The other structural parts are that we have to take away some of the things that have caused this sort of pilfering of company values. The public stock markets are difficult because if you go public, you then have to answer to people that you don't know. There can be corporate raiders out there that you have totally different rules that you have to run by, and it's a distraction to running a profitable business. So,
yeah, it's very difficult. You don't know who they are, where they are, and it takes away from your focus on the things that are important.
Well, there's also a lot of gaming going on because you can short a stock, you can
sure,
run
yeah,
press and fan the flames and drive the stock price up, and it's quite a roller coaster, and I've lived through that. And it's unfortunate because you can lose in one day, depending on what the market's doing, you can lose half the value of your company, and your shareholders lose it too. So that's one thing that we won't do at NVI and growing these companies is they won't be public. That's one of the structural rules, and that keeps us out of that kind of difficulty. Well, and there are, you know, there are other pieces of the puzzle that are kind of structural sort of rules that companies run by. So we have to lay those into place and build each one under the same set of rules.
So what are you, let's just talk about some of these different structural elements. Like the important thing for all businesses is the banking system. What are you just going to use the current banking system that will be wherever? I mean, is this, first of all, before we get in the banking system, is this going to be location minded or is it going to be broad across the country?
This will be across the country. There are great pools of talent everywhere and we need to put jobs everywhere. So depending on what type of company it is, we have categories that are picked simply because there are things that people will always need. They're food and shelter, and health and wellness, energy, education, and then we added entertainment and recreation because people need to have fun at the end of the day and relax on that. So depending on where you are in the country and what the resources are, you may tend to plant certain kinds of companies in those areas versus others, but we're focused focused on 2 million jobs across the country, and we're not particularly loyal to anything.
Just anywhere, because everybody needs it.
Everybody needs it, so we've got to bring it everywhere. And you know, some of the things that structurally that you were asking about too, that we have to shift the mentality from get rich quick to long-term permanent gains for the investors and hopefully for the employees too, because that's one of the things that gets in the way. So one real rule we'll have is that New Village companies can't be bought and sold or traded like companies are today. And to your point of the mentality has become start something, fan the flames, run it up, and get bought quickly, where you really haven't maybe created the value fully yet, and you certainly haven't created permanent jobs.
Well, so, you create a frame, right? It doesn't have all the substance in it. You're creating this, they always say house of cards, but you're creating this empty core or frame and selling it and creating the brand as fast as you can and trying to, but a solid company takes time and has a foundation.
Yeah, and I've come to appreciate what a solid company really is, because to me it's a living and breathing thing. It's not something to be bought and sold, and it's not a stock certificate. It's actually, a building full of people that are feeding their families, and they're creating products or important services for customers that need them and want them. And if they do a good job at it, then you have the makings of a permanent company, and it can be a good puzzle piece for a healthy economy. When we shifted to this idea of quick returns, day trading and shorting stocks and buying and selling companies and running them up with valuations that are absolutely breathtaking, we actually shifted all the value away from the companies that were doing a good job.
True. Because the companies that were solid and plugging along weren't getting that attention. So does the banking system need to be different, or are you just going to use the current structure that's already exists?
Well, over the long run, banking is in an area of what I would view as employee services. So when you have a company, the employees are earning money that really come from the customers and serving them well. One of the goals of the company ought to be to help the employee keep as much of their money as they can to use for their family and for buying goods and services and fueling the economy and paying taxes and so on. So the banking system today has become a service-based system that wants to charge for every service, and that's eating away at employees' incomes in a way that's out of proportion, in my view. So, yes, we'll have some employee services for the companies, and they'll be provided by New Village at the top level. So we'll have banking.
Like a credit union type environment?
Yeah, more like a credit union, where it's actually owned by all the employees.
Okay.
And all of the companies of the 2 million jobs and hopefully more. So it's the plan to do that. And certainly they can go out into the normal banking system if they wish and do that too. But we want to make sure that there's some health care benefits for them inside of this New Village shell and some financial benefits inside of that shell so that they don't, so they can actually, essentially get a good deal for themselves and their families as much as we can provide.
So does the political climate and the culture need to be different for this to work?
I spent a lot of years being frustrated with the political system, and I finally decided I was burning energy in a needless manner, because I don't think it's going to change. I think politicians have a desire to fix the job situation. I think within the structure that they operate in, they're pretty much, their hands are tied because of the way the political system is. That you have the Democrats that need to fight the Republicans on every issue. We can't get anything done well or fast enough, and it's always a compromise. It's not a, there's no strategic plan for the United States. There's only a budget each year. So that's always puzzled me in building and running things, because it seems like if anybody ought to have a strategic plan, it would be the country. So I think they can do some things to support these efforts, and hopefully they will. But in the meantime, it's up to the private sector to do these sorts of initiatives. And by the way, there are a lot of great entrepreneurial things going on in this country, and we need more of them. So there are a lot of people who know that we've got to create real jobs. They're doing them one company at a time, and it's a great, great thing, and we need to provide. The government hasn't done a good job of providing funding for those types of efforts. If you need an SBA loan for $25,000 to start a barbershop, you can get one. But if you want to start a company with meaningful employment that's a permanent long-term company, there's not much help there. So the private sector has to go out and do the type of things that we're trying to do here, and hopefully the politicians will get behind that, because we don't really care if you're independent or Republican or Democrat. It doesn't matter. This is something that needs to be done.
So are you seeing more politicians, as you talk to them, show an interest in this because it's actually something that's trying to solve a real problem that we have, and you're not getting into religious stuff, you're not getting into political party stuff, you're just trying to solve a problem?
Yes, it's we're trying to do this in a non-threatening way, because that's just the way it lays out here, in an impartial way. So if it's something that's not Democratic or Republican or liberal or conservative or independent, it just is something that needs to get done. It's a project. So in that sense, the politicians, it's not something that they are as fearful about, because if, you know, elections are coming and you have to be careful what you tie yourself to. They all, if you ask them, will say, we've got to do something about jobs. So this is something that's neutral that they can support if they'd like to.
So how are you anticipating to get the funding to you know, get this going? And how have you started some of this so far?
Yeah, we have several projects going on that we've invested in ourselves, and we're now, because we want to ramp up more quickly, we will now start to bring in outside investors. So part of that will be through a crowdsource platform where people that don't have a lot of money can still put some in, they can support the project and feel good about that, and actually have collectively a giant impact. And then we'll also, as we've done in past companies over the last 30 years, we'll get investments from the private sector, people who have probably had success growing their own companies. They understand the mission, they love it, and they know we need more of it. And then lastly, this is a platform where, rather than get rich quick, it's a long-term annuity kind of investment. So our plan is to deliver, you know, 8 to 10% annually, you know, annual return, you know, rather than 5,000%.
Exactly.
One time, and nine of the other companies are invested in die. So we want the institutional money to be able to take some of their portfolio and put it in this, looking at it as sort of an entrepreneurial but safer than normal investment as a startup, because these are designed to be permanent companies, and they're designed to deliver an annuity, if you will, in that 8 to 10% range. So it's an interesting new investment vehicle. In today's market, you can't make much in what are formerly, so-called safe investments.
So how are you gonna decrease the risk for investors?
Well, decreasing the risk is in the type of company, the size of the company. So these companies will be designed to be in market sectors where the consumer side will have a forever demand. So, whether it's energy or housing or healthcare, whatever, we're going to pick topics, products, services where we know that people are going to need them for 100 years and beyond. Then we're going to design a company around that with the best talent and the proper funding, but it's going to be designed around the jobs and keeping them permanent. And it's going to be designed around early profitability, which we've been able to achieve with in past startups. And the one thing we didn't talk about, but it's critically important, the stock market believes, or they have us believe, that every company that's listed has the capability of growing infinitely bigger forever.
Yeah, that's just...
And obviously that can't work. That's why stocks go up and down. So the New Village companies, we look very careful at each market sector and say, look, this company has potential of having fast growth. We need to level it out at its optimum profit point and keep it there.
That's interesting, because that can make a huge difference to the whether something is risky or not.
Yes. So I've been a part of one of these where we were working on, we were assigned a task of working on a bankrupt technology company that had been great in its olden times and technology had moved on and they're behind. So a whole bunch of us sort of re-engineered the thing and rebuilt it. And it went from a handful of employees to tens of thousands of employees. And as it got through those stages, they started to try to figure out how we're going to keep this growth path going so that we can keep our stock price going up.
Yeah, that's the challenge when you're on the stock market, is because you're constantly looking at the next quarter versus looking at how to stay healthy.
Exactly. So what happened was they passed their optimum operating point. And when you do that, you start making these money-fueled decisions. In this case, it was acquiring too many different diverse companies that they couldn't manage. And they probably didn't all fit the strategy as well as they should, and so on. So if management at the time, and it's great management, if it weren't for that stock price issue, they would have said, well, let's level it out here at a billion or a couple billion and run it there. And you can be extremely efficient and your employees are safe. And if the stockholders are okay with the annuity program, 8 or 10% a year, whatever it is, then you've got something that, an economic model that will work. But, the stock buying public wants constant gains, and that's not possible. So,
not without companies failing and things being really dynamic.
Yeah. So you end up with this churn with a lot of companies failing, but we've learned to worship the ones that go up like a rocket and get sold for giant valuations, but that again benefits only a very few people.
So what type of people are you hoping to attract in order to, because as this thing grows, how are you going to keep that from not being just sucked into the culture?
So, yeah, the people are, the biggest piece of the puzzle always. And fortunately, we're in a time where there's a huge underutilized talent pool out there because of the way the economy is. We have seasoned executives and managers from all kinds of companies of all different sizes who are sitting on the sidelines, or they're earning, you know, an underemployed wage at the moment, looking to do something that's fun and useful. So we want to attract the people who understand this particular mission and want to put back permanent jobs, and we want that to become maybe the cool thing to do for a while. So everywhere I go and talk about this, people light up, and it's interesting to watch. So yeah, that's what we really need. Something people are hungry for. They're hungry for security. They're hungry to believe in something that can be stable, because there's not much stable in this world right now. And we want to attract all of those people and then hopefully build this to big enough where it sort of carries itself. And we want the 20 and 30 somethings to run these companies.
People want something real, right? I mean, people want,
yeah, real,
they want
value,
to believe.
We want real news on the news channel. We want to know that our boss really does love us, and that we probably will have a job tomorrow, and you know, all of the things that add up to feeling okay. And maybe this is about the economics of feelings and reengineering that, because it's such a stressful society now, with all the issues that we have to deal with, and you get so you can't even turn the news on anymore because you have to turn it right back off because it's all negative. So we've got to rebuild some of the positives and give people something to, you know, you want them to get excited when they get up in the morning. It's like, I get to go to work. Well, how many people say that today? Not enough.
I do.
Yeah, I know you do. and you should. Because you're providing a great service that people need. So it's that kind of thinking that we have
exactly
to get back to understanding. It really is possible to feel good. We have to change what we're doing and how we're doing it. So New Village is about, you know, one way to change some of what we're doing.
So have you studied other initiatives around the world? Because you probably know me, I do a lot of reading and studying and looking at all different things. And there are some other groups around the world that are trying to rethink how things are done as well. Have you looked into any other things that are going on?
I have. I like to do a lot of research also. That's generally how I spend my early mornings and late evenings, is studying what other people are doing. And there are a lot of great initiatives. I haven't seen any take hold yet. Some of them are a little academic, theoretical, and haven't been turned into practicality yet.
And I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's a fine line between, you know, the research department and the implementation department. So what we have to do is take those good ideas, because there are a lot of them, and they're probably more than enough to accomplish all of this that we want to do and more. But we have to bring in the people who've actually had the in-the-trenches experience building and running these entrepreneurial profitable companies that could be long-term ones. So there are signs that people are fed up with what's going on and they want to do this. We're trying to bring one option to the table. We hope that people bring a lot of other options, because we need this to happen quickly.
Well, because the world, our country needs something. We need to start getting some things going.
Yes, we do.
What can an investor hope to achieve if they become part of this?
Well, for one thing, they'll have the most fun they've ever had.
Because you're so much fun?
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. But they first of all, they're going to feel good about doing it. And a lot of investors, the ones that have high net worth, they donate into this sort of thing. And we're not asking them to do that. We're saying take maybe 10%.
Go ahead. I'm in line with where you're thinking. Go ahead.
Yeah, and put them into this. Yes, it's a risk because it's new. However, it's different than your normal startup risk because you're going to have experienced talent, very tightly focused on delivering an outcome and then maintaining the outcome, which is the new piece of the puzzle. So we're hoping that it will be sort of a new class of investment and that we're inventing here, and that the folks that have high net worths will say, I've got to do something about this problem that they're talking about, because if you have a lot of your income in any kind of asset, in stock market or hard assets or anything, if the middle income bracket isn't functioning and the economy is eroding underneath it, the value of your portfolio is going down, not up, because it's built on a false economy. So to the degree that we can fill in this lost middle ground and start paying taxes into the government and circulate the dollars and consume at the rates that we need to, then that will lift up their entire portfolio value of everything else that they own. So it's a double positive. You're genuinely helping people, and you're also helping yourself if you do it.
So how about entrepreneurs? What would an entrepreneur have to gain by doing it as part of this initiative?
Well, again, it's a different environment. If you've been watching Silicon Valley and you like what's going on there, these skyrockets that go up every once in a while, giant valuations, then this isn't the deal for you. However, knowing that only one out of a million people get to do that, the odds aren't that great.
So, well, a lot of people aren't funded either,
right?
With great ideas.
You don't really read about that in the news. You read about the success stories. Google buys a thermostat company for $3.2 billion. Those are the things that hit the news. But the reality is not many companies get funded if you're an entrepreneur. You know, 1 out of 100 survives. And 1 or 2 out of those make it a couple of years. So we have to bring sort of what I call the gray-haired set, like me, into the coaching mentoring positions to help the 20 and 30 and 40-somethings run these deals and make sure that they arrive at a safe, profitable place. And they can still make a great income and have a great upside.
Well, and can you see an entrepreneur starting one and then, because they get bored and they want to move on. So you could almost see them as, okay, you can launch this one. We'll bring in another professional who wants to run the company. And then let's get you getting another company going. So it's almost like they have this profession. They can be an entrepreneur. All these universities have these programs now where they're training people to be entrepreneurs, but they don't really have the means. I mean, it's just such a struggle, right?
Yeah. So if you can bring the ideas in and the capital in, and then the talent and the mentors and coaches, then you can start the game. You don't leave your quarterback on the field for the entire game. You have to take him out and let other people do their work. But so the true entrepreneurs love to grow things. We do exactly what you're talking about, and we'll have exit plans for them if you're through the growth phase and now you're at the plateau where you want the company to stay. That's an operating person.
Yeah, it's a different type of person.
Yeah, and some people love to operate things and keep them on that line, and all the metrics and all of that, and that talent's available. So you plug that in. So, and then you take your entrepreneur back, and like you say, you plug them into the next company.
And they'll have a incentive to doing that by having some you know, constant cash flow from the companies they start, or how are you going?
Yeah, there will be, it's pretty classic in that everybody in the company will have a piece of the company. I mean, I've had great results when the janitor owns a piece of the company and the receptionist and everybody in between, and they can all recite the strategic plan and they're excited about the company because they know what's going on. You need to have that kind of culture in these deals, and it works really well. The entrepreneurs, I mean, really everybody in the company is an entrepreneur in this case because they're all taking a risk, even though working at Walmart's a risk or anywhere else is a risk today. So these companies will be, I think, on the same risk level as anything else going on right out of the gate. I'd rather bet on one of these than some of the established companies right now.
So what can a politician hope to achieve if they become part of this and help this stuff go?
Well, they'll get elected, of course. I think it's time for the politicians to stop worrying about what people think about what they're doing and stop worrying about votes. I'd like to see them get some more guts and say, we have to do what's right for the country. And here's an initiative that's non-threatening politically. It's going to help the economy. And there is money to help with if they want to spend it in this direction. I'm not asking them to do that. But I think if a politician associates with this kind of project and is real about it and tells people why they should back it, and, you know, if I happen to be a Republican and running for Senate, I tell everybody, it's like Democrats, Republicans, Independents, you need to support this regardless of what happens in the election. You need to get behind this kind of effort.
Because it's 'cause we're really trying to do something.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So what resources and projects do you already have running? So if somebody's interested in learning more about it, what can they see that you already have running and what are you doing right now?
Well, we've been pretty low profile. We're about to poke our nose up out of the fog here and let people see a little bit. We've got some initiatives going in healthcare, in recreation, and housing. We've got a couple things that we're looking at doing in energy and the sort of off-grid kind of projects to help people be more sufficient, self-sufficient. And we're looking at a number of companies, actually been looking at quite a few for a long time, so we'll be launching more and more. We've got about a half a dozen that are in stages of growth right now.
So you have done enough so that, because you kind of had your head down and you were just working hard and getting it going, and now you feel like, okay, we've done enough now where we can show people the model and we can start talking about it and we can start really building on it now.
Yeah, you see a lot more from us in the next 90 days, and we love input. We love resources. Anybody who wants to get involved in any manner or learn more, that we'd love to hear from.
So how can people get a hold of you? Do you have a website or anything that people can go to and read about it, or how can they get hold of you?
We have new websites coming, so they're not turned on yet, but they will be shortly. In the meantime, we've got a general email box at the New Village Initiative @gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from people, and we can converse that and send them web links and that kind of thing.
Okay, and then I'll also have all your contact information that you want to share with people on the radio page. And we can go from there. I really hope this really takes off, because I know you have from what I've seen so far, I know you have a lot of good things going already. And if, you know, as a good little nut going, you have the nut and it's ready to grow.
No, this is, I like to call it
What do you like to?
A big playground to play in. This is probably the biggest playground you'll find in job creation at the moment. And it's going to take a giant army of resources to get this done at all levels. And so we'd encourage people, if you're interested, to get in contact with us. And
you're looking not only for investors and politicians and entrepreneurs to get on board, but you're looking for creative types, bankers, all sorts of people.
Yeah, everybody, like I said, from the janitor, the receptionist, to the investors, to the technologists and research people. It's a very, very broad,
exciting thing.
Initiative, and we need a lot. And 2 million people is a lot of talent.
Yeah. Well, what are there any things that you're going to do to weed people out? Because I mean, let's face it, not everybody you want involved.
No, and again, that's my experience with people and hiring over the years, and picking partners and investors and all that. It's a difficult process, but here there's some self-selection, because if you tell people we're not going to make you an instant billionaire, so don't ask us to do that. That weeds out some.
Yes.
But if they understand that we're sincere about what we're doing, we're very serious about what we're doing, and we're going to deliver it. If they are ready to be as committed as we are, we'll be able to tell that. And we don't want the get rich quick folks. That there's no place for that here. And so we'll be careful on selection. But I think there's just so much good talent out there, and resources and investors and so on, that I think we've got plenty to work with.
Lots of fun things going on. Okay, well, I'll definitely have your information up on the radio page so people can get more information about this. And in the meantime, thank you so much for coming on the program and sharing your initiative with everyone.
Sarah, it's been great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
So we are going to definitely be tracking Gary Beeman and his team and see how they're doing over the next few months. We're going to, you know, talk to them in a few months and probably a few months after that, and just see what their progress is. Because if they can really, truly, if they can even get close to creating 2 million jobs, they will be doing a great service for this country and for many people. And it will really get people thinking differently about how to tackle these big problems. And, you know, government is seldom the solution. And maybe this will show people a new way of looking at some of these problems. So for now, have a wonderful day.